Today's shiur is Perek Revi'i of Hilchos Machalos Asuros, the fourth chapter of the laws concerning forbidden foods. Halacha Aleph, paragraph 1. Ha'ochel kezayis mipsar behema shemesa, ochayu shemesa, o'elf shemes, loka. One who eats an olive's worth of the flesh of an animal that died, or of a beast that died, or of a fowl that died, is subject to flogging, which is based on the Torah's statement, Shenemar, as it says in the book of Deuteronomy, Lo tochlu kol nevela. You shall not eat of anything that dies of itself. That is what we refer to as a nevela. V'kol shelo nishchata karoi, harizo mesa. And whenever the slaughtering did not take place properly, it was not in accordance with the laws of Shechita, it is regarded as though it had died of itself. U'behilchas ha-shechita yizbar ha-shechita shehi karoi, v'she'ena karoi. In the laws concerning Shechita, ritual slaughter, which is the next section of the Rambam, it will be explained in detail what constitutes valid and invalid Shechita. Halacha Beis, paragraph 2. Ein osam mishum nevela elaminim tahorim bilvad, v'pnei shehein ruyim l'shechita. The only types of animals that are subject to the law of nevela are only those animals that are of a kosher species, because they are fit to be slaughtered. However, if it is an unkosher species, it can't even be eaten, even if it is slaughtered properly. Ve'im nishchatu shchita k'shera, yu matarim b'achila. Only those species, had they been slaughtered properly, you would be allowed to eat them. If they're not slaughtered properly, they are considered to be an avela. Avaminim t'meim she'ein shchita mo'elos behen, bein she'nishchatu k'roi, bein she'meitza k'darka, bein she'chasach basam en'achayim imena v'achalo, ein alokim mishum nevela utrefa, ela mishum ochel b'sar t'meya. However, non-kosher species, which could not be rendered fit for consumption through shechita, it makes no difference as to whether they were slaughtered properly, whether it died normally, whether a person cuts a piece of the animal while it's still alive and eats it. In all of these cases, one does not get flogging. One is not flogged because he violated the law of nevela or the law of trefa, but only because he ate the flesh of an unclean, of a non-kosher species. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3. Ha'ochel of tohar chai kol shehu loka mishum ochel nevela. One who eats a kosher bird, that means a bird from a kosher species, which is alive, any amount of it, is subject to flogging because he has eaten a nevela. V'yafal pisha ein bo kezayis, ho'el v'achola kulo. And even though there is not a kezayis, an olive's worth, and we said before that the only time you get lashes is if you eat at least a kezayis, the bulk of an olive, but in this case, in the case of the bird, it is different, as the Rambam explains, since he ate the entire bird. When you eat the entire thing, it doesn't have to be the size, the equivalent of a zayis, of an olive. V'im achalo achashameis, achiyibo kezayis. However, if he eats it after it dies, then it has to have the same bulk of an olive. V'afal pisha im bekula basa kezayis, ho v'yesh bekula kezayis, chayev olav mishum nevela. And even if there isn't an olive's worth of flesh, of meat in the whole bird, but once the bird as a whole is the size of an olive's bulk, he is liable because it is nevela. In other words, even if it's not meat alone that makes up the kezayis, but it's the meat and the bones and the sinews and so on, all of that together combine to make up the size of an olive, and one would be culpable. Halacha Dalet, paragraph 4. One who eats an olive's worth of the flesh of a stillborn young, of a clean animal, of a kosher animal, is subject to the flogging because he has eaten nevela. It is also forbidden to eat of a newborn young animal until the eighth night after its birth. And the reason is that any young animal which has not lived for 8 days is regarded as potentially stillborn. Although, if a person does eat of this, he is not liable to flogging for it. If, however, it is known that the young animal had completed the required number of months in the womb for the animal to be a viable animal, and that is 9 months, the Rambam says, for large cattle and 5 for small, and it was 9 months or 5 months for large and small animals respectively before being born, it is permitted to eat of that animal from the day of its birth. The only reason we wait for 8 days otherwise is to determine that this animal is viable and that it had gone through the full 9 or 5 months of gestation. Halacha Hey, paragraph 5. Hashulya sheyatzas im havlad asura b'achila v'ha'ochla pata she'ena basar. The shulya, that is the thing in which the child, the offspring, the young animal is contained, sometimes translated as the caul, if that emerges with a calf, it is forbidden to be eaten. But a person who eats it is exempt from lashes, since it is not considered meat. It is not considered to be nevela, but it is nevertheless forbidden to eat. Halacha Vav, paragraph 6. Ha'ochel kazayis mipsar behema. O chaya of tahorim shenitrafu loke. Person who eats an olive's worth of the meat of a clean animal, kosher animal, beast, or bird, which has been rendered treifa, is also subject to flogging. What exactly is the definition of treifa? The Rambam will soon explain. Now, what is this based on? Shenemar, as it says in the book of Exodus, Ubasar basada treifa lo sochelu, lakelev tashlichun oso. Any meat that is torn of beasts, and that is the word treifa, in the field, you shall not eat. You shall cast it to the dogs. Now, treifa ha'amura b'tora zu shetorfa oso chayas hayar, kigon ari v'namer v'kiyotze behen. Now, when the Torah refers to treifa, it means an animal that was torn and ripped apart by a beast of prey, such as a lion, a leopard, or the like. V'chein of shetorf oso of hadores, kigon neitz v'kiyotze bo. The same thing would, of course, apply to a bird ripped by a bird of prey, such as a falcon or its like. Ve'ein atayachal lomer shetorfa osa v'hamisa osa. She'im mesa hari hi nevela. Umali mesa machmas atzma ahika besaye v'hamisa o shavra ari v'hamisa. We cannot say that when the Torah says treifa, it means that the animal, the bird, the animal of prey, ripped it apart and killed it, because if it died, then it is nevela. What difference does it make whether the animal died a natural death, or whether a person smote it with a sword and killed it, whether a lion mauled it and killed it? We are therefore compelled to conclude that the Torah, when it refers to treifa, the animal that was ripped apart by a beast of prey, that it did not die. It was merely mauled, but it did not die, and that is still called a treifa, even though it didn't die. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. The Rambam now tries to understand what treifa is. Is it just merely being attacked? The Rambam continues to explain. Im ha-treifa, shalom mesa asura, yachal im baza'e v'garar hagdi baraglo, o biznavo, o ba'ozno, v'radaf adam v'hitzilo mipiv yi asar, shaharei nitraf. If so, that a torn beast which has not died as a result of the mauling is forbidden, one might assume that if a wolf comes forth and drags away a goat by its foot, tail, or ear, and then someone comes and chases the wolf and rescues the goat from its mouth, that the goat should be forbidden, because it's torn, it's treifa. So the Rambam shows us that the Torah dispels that notion. Talmud Lomar, that's why the Torah tells us, Ubasa basada treifa v'gomer, lakelev tashlichun osa, achiyasa osa basar haruya lakelev. The Torah says, any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field you shall not eat, you shall cast it to the dogs. That is to tell us that it is not forbidden until it becomes fit only for a dog. From this we learn what treifa is. That the treifa that is mentioned in the Torah refers to an animal so torn and crushed by a beast of prey that it is fatally wounded, although not yet dead. And even if a person anticipates its death, and then performs shechita upon the animal before it dies, it is still forbidden as treifa, since it could not have continued to live as a result of the wound inflicted upon it. So we have defined treifa not as something that was torn apart by an animal and died, that would be nevela, or not as something that was attacked by an animal, but still could live for many years after that, that would also not be treifa. It's a wounded animal, but not treifa. Only if it is wounded fatally, had you not slaughtered it, it would have died of those wounds. Halacha Ches, paragraph 8. In this paragraph, the Rambam expands the definition of treifa. Nimtzas lamei, shahatara asra ha-meisa lihen avela, v'asra ha-nota lamus machas makoseha, v'yafa pisha adayin lo-meisa, v'hi ha-trefa. From all this we learn that the Torah forbids, first of all, a dead animal, which is considered an avela, and secondly, one which is bound to die as a result of its wounds, though not yet dead, and that is what we call a trefa. Okashem shelo tachlik b'misa b'meisa machmas atzma, b'en shenafla v'meisa, b'en shechanka atche meisa, b'en shedirasasa achaya v'harakta, kach lo tachlik b'nota lomus, b'en shetrafata chaya v'shavarata, b'en shenafla min hagag v'nishtab b'rov taloseha, b'en shenafla v'nisrasko evareha, b'en shezarek b'cheit v'nakav liba o'reyasa, b'en shebola choli machmas atzma v'nikav liba o'reyasa, o'shiba rov taloseha v'kiyotze behen. Hoel vihi nota lomus mikol makam harezu trefa. Bein shahaya hagorim bidei basa v'dam, bein shahaya bidei shamayim. The Rambam now makes a parallel. And in exactly the same manner as in the case of an animal which had died, we don't draw any distinction whether the animal died of one cause or another. For example, whether the animal died of natural causes, or fell down to its death, or was strangled to death, or was torn and killed by a beast of prey. In either of those cases, if the animal is dead, it is an avela, no matter what the cause was. In the same way, the Rambam says, no distinction should be made in the case of an animal which is about to die, whether the cause of that is a beast of prey had torn and crushed it, or the animal itself had fallen from a roof and had fractured most of its ribs, or had fallen and injured its organs, or was shot by an arrow and its heart or lungs were pierced, or contracted a disease which caused the perforation of its heart or lungs, or brought about the fracture of most of its ribs, and so on and so forth. It makes really no difference what the cause is. Once the animal is about to die, it is in every case considered trefa, whether the cause is an act of man or an act of heaven. Im kein lama nema b'tara trefa, diber hakasa behova. If so, the Rambam asks, why does the Torah specify trefa, which means an animal that was torn by another animal, by a beast of prey? And the answer is that the Torah speaks in terms of what occurs most commonly. It picks on the example that is most common. She'im lo tomar kein, lo te'oser ela osa she'nitrifa basada, aval im nitrifa b'chatzir, lo te'oser. Ha'lamalata, she'ein ha'kasa medaber ela behova. Because if you won't agree to this, that the Torah is only using a common example, but it extends to everything, then we would not prohibit a trefa unless it was torn in a field. Because the Torah says, basar basada trefa, the flesh that was torn in a field. But if it was torn in a courtyard, it would not be forbidden. And that is obviously an untenable conclusion. Therefore, we are compelled to say that the Torah is merely using the most common form as to when an animal would become a trefa. When it's torn apart in the field, that's where you find the beasts of prey, and that is where it's most likely for this to happen. Halacha test, paragraph 9. V'inyin hakasuv shehanota lamas machus makoseha, v'i efshal lalichyos machus makazu asura. Now, the essence of this verse is that an animal which is about to die on account of its wound and cannot survive as a result of that wound, that animal is forbidden. Mikan amru chachamim zeh haklal, kol she'ein kamoa chaya trefa. Our sages, based on this, have given us a general rule that every disease, if it afflicts an animal, would make it impossible for that animal to survive, then that animal is considered to be trefa. Ubehilcha shchita yisbar eiza choli osa osa trefa, eiza choli ein osa osa trefa. In the subsequent section dealing with the laws of shchita, of ritual slaughter, it will be explained which diseases render an animal trefa and which do not. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. V'chein hachosech basa min ha-tahorim hare oso ha-basar trefa v'ha-ochel mimenu kezayis lokem mishum ochel trefa. Likewise, if someone cuts a piece of flesh from a living animal, of those animals that are kosher, in other words, of the clean species, that meat is considered to be trefa. And one who eats a olive's worth of that meat will get lashes because he has eaten a trefa. Shahari basa zeh mebehemush lo nishchata b'lo mesa. Because this meat is from an animal that was not slaughtered and it did not die. Mali tarfa osa chaya, mali chatacha besakin. Mali bekula, mali bemaktsasa. What difference does it make if it was torn by a beast or whether it was torn by a knife? And what difference if it's the entire animal, or what's the difference whether it's only part of the animal that was torn? Harehu omer ubasa basada trefa lo techelu, Kivon shenasis habehema basar basade harehi treifa. The Torah declares, any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field you shall not eat, implying that once the flesh has become, quote, flesh in the field, unquote, it is deemed treifa. It's the result that counts. What it is now, that it is now a piece of meat torn off, we don't care how it was obtained. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 11. Behemah shehi chola machmas shetashish kocha, v'natzalam muz hol v'lo eira maka, v'eivr me'evareha hamemisim osa harezu muteris. Shelo asra Torah ele ke'ein treifa chayis hayar, sheharei osa v'maka hamemisa osa. An animal which is sick as a result of natural enfeeblement and is about to die is permitted, since no fatal wound had developed in any of its vital organs, and this is based on the fact that the Torah forbids only that which can be compared to an animal torn by a beast of prey, which means that it must have a wound from which it will surely die, not just natural sickness. Halacha Yud Beis, paragraph 12. Afal pishehi muteres gedolei hachachamim lahaya ochlem mibehem shemim maharim v'shochten osa kadei shelo tomos v'afal pishehi mipirchisa b'sov shchita v'davar zeh ein bo iser ela kol harotza lahachmer al atzma b'davar zeh harei zeh mishubach. While such an animal that we just discussed in Halacha Yud Aleph, in Halacha Yud 11, is permitted, the greatest of the sages have nevertheless avoided eating an animal that was hastily slaughtered before natural death could set in. Even if it is still quivering at the conclusion of Shechita, they still did not use it. But the Rambam says this is not really a prohibition, but one who prefers to be strict in this matter is praiseworthy. It is not a matter of that it is forbidden, but it is a matter of extra measures of piety, and one would be praiseworthy for following this. Halacha Yud Gimel, paragraph 13. Hashochet behema chaya v'of, v'lo yatsa mehem dam, harelu mutarim. V'ein omrim shema mesim hayu. If one slaughters an animal, beast, or fowl, and that no blood had been shed, no blood emerges, they are still permissible. And we do not say, perhaps they were already dead. V'chein hashochet esabriya, v'lo pirkasa harizu muteris. If someone slaughters a healthy animal, and it does not quiver, it does not shake, it is still permissible. Av hamasukenis. Vehi kol shemamidim osav eino amedes afa pishehi ocheles machal brios im shachetav lo pirkas aklal harezu nevela velokin aleha. However, an animal that is dangerously ill, that is one which, when stood up, cannot remain standing, though it may eat food like a healthy animal. And if this animal does not quiver when slaughtered, it is considered a nevela. We consider it dead, and one who eats it would be liable to a flogging for eating nevela. However, if it does quiver, then even this animal would be permissible. The quivering must take place at the end of the slaughtering process and not at the beginning. If it happens at the beginning, it is of no effect, of no value. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 14. Ketzet hu hapirkus. What do we mean by quivering? V'vehema daka uvechaya gasa v'daka bein shepashta yada v'herzira o shepashta ragla afa pishlo herzira o shekafafa ragla bilvad hareza pirkus umutar. In the case of small animals, domestic animals, or large or small beasts, if it stretches its foreleg forward and pulls it back, or if it stretches its hind leg forward, even without pulling it back, or if it merely bends its hind leg, all these motions constitute quivering, pirkus, and the animal is permitted. Aval im pashta yada v'lo hirzira sa harizu asura, she'en zu elu hatzos nefesh bovad. However, if the animal stretches out its foreleg but does not pull it back, the animal is forbidden, because that action is merely the sign of the departure of life, and therefore it is not considered pirkus. Ubehema gasa echad hayad v'echad haregel bein shepashta v'lo kafafa bein kafafa v'lo pashta harezo pirkus umuteres. Now, with regard to a large animal, it is irrelevant whether it is the foreleg or the hind leg, whether the animal stretches out the leg and does not bend it, or bends it and does not stretch it out. All of this constitutes quivering, and the animal is permitted. V'im lo pashta lo yad v'lo rega v'lo kafafa klal harezo nevela. If, however, the animal stretches out neither the foreleg nor the hind leg, nor bends it at all, it is considered an nevela. Uba'ov, afilo lo rifref elo be'eno v'lo kishkish elo biznova harezo pirkus. With regard to a bird, even if it flutters its eyelid or twitches its tail, this alone constitutes quivering, pirkus, and it would be permissible. Halacha Tezvav, paragraph 15. Hashochet es mesukenes balayla, v'lo yad im pirkusa o lo pirkusa, harezu safik nevelov asura. One who slaughters an animal that is dangerously ill at night, and he does not know if it quivered or not, it is considered to be a doubtful case of nevela, and it is forbidden. Halacha Tezayin, paragraph 16. Kol isurin shabetora e mitstarfim ze im ze, chutz mi isurin nazir, kamoshi yizbar sham. All prohibitions of the Torah did not combine with one another to make up the minimum amount for liability, with the sole exception of things prohibited to the Nazir, the person who makes the vow not to drink wine, not to contaminate himself in the cemetery, not to cut his hair, and so on, as will be explained in those laws concerning a Nazir. Lefichach, therefore, halakeach mi'at chelev, umiyad dam, umiyad psar behemet mei, umiyad psar nevela, umiyad psar dog tamei, umiyad psar of tamei, b'kiyotza ba'elu, mishar ho yisurin, v'tzeref min ha'kol kizayis v'acholo, ein aloke, v'dino k'din ochel chatzi shir. Therefore, if a person takes a little bit of forbidden fat, a little bit of forbidden blood, a little bit of the flesh, the meat of an unkosher animal, a little bit of the meat of an nevela, a little bit of the meat of an unkosher fish, and a little bit of the meat of an unkosher bird, or anything like that of the other prohibitions that are prohibited, and he combines them all, and all together they make up a kezias, the volume of an olive, and then the person eats it, he would not get lashes, he would not be flogged, and it is considered to be as if he ate less than the prescribed amount, less than the requisite amount, in which case there is a biblical prohibition, but one is not liable to flogging. Halacha Yedzayim, paragraph 17. Kol ha-nevelus mitztarfa zu'um zu, u'nevela mitztarefus im treifa. Now all the different kinds of nevela, however, do combine with one another, and so does nevela combine with treifa. V'chein kol behema v'chai ha-tmeim mitztarfim ze'em ze'. And likewise, all unclean animals, all species that are unclean, animals and beasts, combine with one another. Avol b'sar nevela im b'sar behema tmeya eim mitztarf. However, the meat of nevela with the meat of a non-kosher species of animal do not combine. Keta, how so? Halokeach min nivlas hashar v'nivlas hatzvi v'nivlas hatarnagol v'kavatz min hakol kizayis basav acholo loke. If someone takes the nevela, the dead carcass of an ox, the dead carcass of a deer, the dead carcass of a chicken, and all together, combined together, he has one olive's worth of meat, and he eats it, he would be subject to lashes, because he has eaten three different things, three different items that are all nevela, come under one heading, and that is the heading of nevela, therefore he gets lashes. V'chein im kavetz chati zayis minibos behema Torah, v'chati zayis min hatreifa, ochati zayis mipsar nevela, v'chati zayis mibasa min hachai, min hatahora, v'acholo lokim. The same would be true if he combines a half of an olive's worth of a nevela, of a kosher kind of animal, and a half of an olive's worth of a trefa, of a kosher animal. They also combine because nevela and trefa are considered to be in one category. Or if he takes a half of an olive's worth of nevela, and a half of an olive's worth of meat taken from a living animal, in that case, if it is a kosher kind of animal and he eats it, again he would be subject to lashes. As we learned before, meat taken from a living animal is subject to the prohibition of treifa, and treifa and nevela do combine. V'chein b'sar ha-gamol v'ha-chazi v'har-neveh shekavatz b'kulam k'zayis v'acholo loke. Likewise, if a person takes the flesh or the meat of a camel, of a pig, and the hair, and ate an olive's worth of it, he would again be liable to a flogging, since they're all forbidden under the same heading, non-kosher species. Avim tzeref chati zayis minivlas hashor, v'chati zayis mifsar ha-gamol enem mitztarfen. However, if he would combine a half of an olive's worth of a nevela of an ox and a half of an olive's worth of the meat of a camel, that would not combine because they're two different headings, two different types of prohibitions. And anything that would be similar to this would likewise not bring the person to culpability and he would not be flogged. Likewise, non-kosher animal, together with non-kosher fowl or non-kosher fish, the meat of these two would not combine. In other words, the non-kosher animal and the bird, or non-kosher animal and the fish, because they both constitute separate names, separate titles of prohibition. Sharei kol echad mehem b'lav b'fnei atzmo k'mosha b'yarno, because each one of them comes under a heading of a different negative commandment, as we explained. However, all fowl combined, non-kosher fowl, do combine, just as all animals and beasts that are non-kosher would combine. This is the rule. If the prohibition comes under the heading of one negative commandment, then they combine. Two negative commandments, they do not combine. The one exception is Nevela and Trefa, even though they come under different headings, different negative statements in the Torah, but they nevertheless combine, since the Trefa is the beginning of the process of Nevela. Why is a Trefa forbidden? Because it is anticipated that this wound that it received will lead very quickly to its demise. So it's the beginning of the process of Nevela. Halacha Yudches, paragraph 18. Ha'ochem Nevela u'Trefa. O mebehema v'chai hatmeim. Min ha'or, u'min ha'tzamos, u'min ha'gidim, u'min ha'karnaim, u'min ha'tzlafim, u'min ha'tziparnaim, shal oth, mimekomos, shemivatzveitz misham hadam, kishichotchu, u'min ha'shil yishalahem, avapishahu asur, hareze potter, mepnesha elu einem ruim la'achila, ve'ein mitstarfen im habasal kezais. If one eats of a nevela or trefa, or from an unkosher animal or beast, but what part of the animal does he eat? He eats the skin, the bones, the sinews, the horns, the hoof, or the thing that comes along with the born animal, which is called a caul, or if he eats of the claws of birds, cut off at a point where the blood spurts forth. In all of these cases, the person is exempt from liability, even though this is forbidden, but he's not subject to the flogging, since these parts are unfit for human consumption and did not combine with meat to form an olive's worth, and therefore would not constitute a prohibition which carries the penalty of flogging. Halacha Yutes, paragraph 19. Kevas a nevela, kevas a tmeim muteres, mpneisha hi kishar tinofa shabaguf. The stomach of a nevela, or of an unclean animal, is permitted, since it is like any other part of the offal. In other words, it is a part of the animal that is not considered to be meat. It's mere waste. And the Rambam concludes, ulefich muta lahamid hagvina bekeba shchitas hagoi, uvekebas behema b'chaya tmeya. For this reason, it is permitted to curdle cheese with the stomach of an animal slaughtered by a non-Jew, or with the stomach of an unclean animal or beast. The membrane of the stomach, however, is like any other part of the entrails, and is forbidden to be eaten. Paragraph 20. The skin in front of a donkey's face is permitted, since it is considered similar to dung and urine, which are permitted. Yesh ara shehem kabasar, v'ocham mehem kezayis, k'ocham min habasar, v'hu kishayochel osim kishayim rakim. There are kinds of skin, however, which are regarded as flesh, and whoever eats an olive's worth of them is liable to a flogging, as though he had eaten an olive's worth of meat. That is, if he eats the skin while it is still tender. Halacha Chafal, 21. Ve'elish erosom kipsaram, and the following, their skins are just like meat. Arha adam v'arach chazir shal yishuv v'arach chatateres, shal gamol shal otana olav masa mi'olam v'lo higiyah l'masa shardayin hiraka v'ar beis haboshes, v'ar shatachas ha'alya, v'ar ha'shlil, v'ar ha'naka, v'akoch v'halta v'achomet, kol elah ha'oros k'shein rakos, harayim kabas. The following kinds of skin are regarded as similar to flesh: human skin, the skin of the domesticated pig, the skin of the hump of a camel which has never borne a burden, or has not yet reached the stage of bearing a burden, so that its skin is still tender, the skin of the privy parts, the skin under the tail, the skin of a fetus, and the skin of the gecko, the land crocodile, the lizard, and the sand lizard. All these skins, when tender, are regarded in every respect as meat, both as to the prohibition of eating and also to the laws of impurity. Halacha Chav Beis. Nemar b'shar ha'nisko v'lo ya'achas b'sarav v'heicha yevshul achla achash ha'nisko barihu nevela ela loba ha'kasav ela ho v'yachash ha'kivon sh'nigmar dina l'skila nesa v'naske behem etmeya v'im kadum v'shchot v'shchit v'ksheira hariza asa b'hanaya. With regard to the ox which has been condemned to stoning, the Torah says, and its flesh shall not be eaten. Now the question is, how could it be permissible to eat it after the ox has been stoned, seeing that it has become a nevela? What the verse really means is to convey that from the moment the ox had been sentenced to stoning, it becomes immediately prohibited and is regarded as an unkosher animal. If therefore a person anticipates the carrying out of the sentence and performs valid shechita upon the ox, he is forbidden to derive any benefit from it. And if he eats even one olive's worth of its meat, he would be subject to flogging. So too, after the ox had been stoned, he may neither sell it nor give it to a dog or to a non-Jew. That is why the Torah says, and its flesh shall not be eaten. A person is allowed, however, to derive benefit from the dung of such an ox. Noda shehu pata beskilo ach shenigmar dino kigon shehu samu edim yetsa v'yira be'eder v'im noda ach sheniskol harizem muta b'hanoya. If after the sentence had been passed, it becomes known that the ox is not liable to stoning, for example, if the witnesses in the case are found to have been guilty of perjury, it is to be released and may pasture with the flock. If the facts become known after the stoning had been carried out, a person is permitted to derive benefit from that carcass.